Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Surfing on the waves of sound.
What's up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, July 15th, 2011, and joining me tonight on the show, I have Amy Vickers from the StarChildProject.com, and the Starchild skull, for all of you who do not know, is a genuine 900-year-old bone skull found in Mexico in the 1930s. And new DNA findings indicate that the Starchild skull may well be alien, because nothing on this planet matches its DNA. Also joining me towards the end of the show is also going to be Mike Brunel from the Morgellons Research Group, and also Dr. Will Spencer, also from the Morgellons Research Group. So you can check that out, morgellonsresearchgroup.com. And they'll also be joining me a little later in the show. Now on to the news, the favorite part of the show, because I love telling the truth and love exposing all the BS and lies around us. So into my favorite part. First, I just want to give a shout out to all the employees of HARP and our governments and all the Black Hawk programs and all the banksters and everyone else, because all those people have families. And if you know someone who is employed by HARP or government or banks and things like that, the stuff we talk about on this show and the stuff that I cover and a lot of us cover in the spiritual community about the times that are coming and the changes that are happening, this is the stuff you need to tell these people about, because they are human just like us and they have feelings too. Most of them don't even know what they're doing. So if you have anyone who works at HARP or any of these banks or governments or things like that, you need to start spreading truth and helping them help us, and you know, let us help you and spread truth through that. And you know, just to let everyone know that these are very hard times to get truth out, because there are so many things against us to get the truth out. For instance, which we'll talk about a little later on the show, which I talk about a lot, is the 433 megahertz frequency, which is being pumped through the planet right now. They're also spraying chemtrails throughout the planet. We have fluoride in our water. We have GMOs in our food. And who knows what else is going on. So despite all of that, the star children still shine bright, and we are still here. Moving on to this first article. This one, I put it first because this just goes to show you how backwards and crazy the news media is here. This headline I just got about a half hour ago off CNN's website, and it's titled, U.S. Recognizes Libyan Rebels Authority. The United States now recognizes the main opposition group in Libya as the legitimate governing authority in a country that Muammar Gaddafi has long ruled with an iron fist. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said on Friday. Now, to all the Americans, that's probably cool because everyone's thinking, yay, the rebels, and now we're supporting the rebels. But what they didn't report is one-third of Libya last Friday turned out for the world's largest march ever. 1.7 million people, or around 95% of the population of Tripoli, the capital, which is one-third of the entire population, have turned out in the largest demonstration ever in the world to demand the end to the NATO bombings of Libya, including the U.S. So you see how the news media outlets flip it here? They're pumping it as we're supporting the Libyan rebels. Meanwhile, a third of the country is protesting to stop the bombings and stop all this because, as we all know, we unlawfully went into Libya and started another war with another country for natural resources and everything else over there. So, interesting enough, you know, it's a total spin, 180 from what's going on. Another awesome article that I saw, and this touches on last week when I talked about the FDA with the breast implants. They knew all along they had to be replaced every 10 years. This study finds many sunscreens increase the skin cancer risk. FDA has known for a decade but done nothing. And this is from Natural News, naturalnews.com. A new report issued by the Consumer Protection Organization Environmental Working Group reveals that many popular sunscreens containing ingredients known to spur the growth and spread of skin cancer cells, which defeats the stated purpose of preventing skin cancer. When I read it, my gut instinct was, well, that's why I don't wear sunscreen. I never wear sunscreen. I'm not going to wear sunscreen. Something in my gut just told me I don't like it my whole life, and I've never worn it. Data indicates that the sun rays combine with certain sunscreen's ingredients in the skin and damage skin cells, which can lead to lesions and tumors. And worst of all, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has allegedly been aware of this critical information for the past 10 years, but has done absolutely nothing about it to warn the people. According to a report by AOL News, about half the sunscreens tested contain the vitamin A ingredients and derivatives like retinol and retinol, which FDA's own studies have shown the photocarcinogenic, meaning that become toxic when exposed to sunlight. So what else is new that the FDA is putting something else harmful out there that they know about to spread cancer? Why? Because then they treat it and they sell you drugs, and that's how pharmaceutical companies run. Also, Mount Etna erupts close to the airports and knocks clocks 15 minutes fast. This sort of bewildered me a little bit. A volcano spewed lava onto its southeastern slopes on Saturday and knocked the clocks back or forward 15 minutes. Now, these are clocks that were on computers, digital clocks, watches, wristwatches, computers, alarm clocks, everything. How they noticed was large numbers of locals started turning up to work early, and a Facebook page was organized for those involved to compare notes. This is really crazy. I don't even know how to explain this one. It's definitely baffled scientists, but this volcanic eruption actually set the clocks forward 15 minutes. 15 minutes on people's digital clocks, computers, wristwatches, everything. In Italy. So, whew, crazy stuff going out there. Talking about volcanoes, a dozen massive volcanoes reaching nearly 10,000 feet were also found near Antarctica, 10,000 feet above the ocean floor. Awesome. So, just goes to show you how much of Mother Earth we have not discovered yet. Icelandic town hopes angry elves have been soothed by songs. This article, I'm glad I found this article because this is definitely something you're not going to see in the mainstream. This basically is a town that in Iceland that came together and is basically giving rights or giving praise or saying they're sorry to elves. Now, most people are like, elves? Elves aren't real. Well, listen to this. It is hoped that the elves and the hidden people around the northwestern Icelandic town of Bolungarvík will start to calm down again following their recent dangerous pranks and humans' subsequent efforts to appease them. Local residents sang songs and said prayers in honor of the peeved hidden folk and elves in this week in an effort to smooth ruffled feathers. Dynamiting began midweek following a nasty incident reported here where rocks and soil rained down from the sky. Now, this wasn't the first time this has happened. It's happened a bunch of times as they started dynamiting different things in the area. Now, most people you know, right away they're going to be like, oh, this is whatever and this can't be true. Well, the municipal government of this town, which is not a small town, actually came together and actually put like a PR campaign together to sort of defuse the situation. What's happening is as they're dynamiting certain areas in the town and stuff like that, elves or the little people, as they're called, or the hidden people, have been fighting back, if you will. You know, you can't just go around and blow up mountains and things like that like we've been doing, because there are other beings living here on this planet. So for the people who right away brush this off, the municipal government made a full apology to the hidden people and the elves for the disturbance of the avalanche and all the stuff they're doing. So, interesting article. I'll definitely have it on the site. Definitely check it out. Also, an awesome YouTube video I saw this week is, and not just on YouTube, but also in the news. This amazing new footage shows two disc-shaped objects flying through a massive dust cloud in Arizona. A 100-mile-wide sandstorm engulfed the small town of Mesa on July 6th. Some airports were closed, and if you could see the footage or just Google sandstorm, Arizona, floating objects, you'll see these two UFOs that actually change shapes. They fly, obviously not like a plane, and it was caught on a news camera. There was a news camera and a helicopter filming this dust storm rolling in, and you could clearly see the UFOs. So an awesome video to check out and get out there. Also, something awesome in the news. In the news this week is a quantum breakthrough stuns world and changes reality for all mankind. This article, and it's also a YouTube video, is by a very young person, or young to be in a physicist or scientific industry, but Aaron O'Connell is the first person to experimentally induce the measure of quantum effects in the motion of a human-made object, bridging the quantum and classical worlds. His breakthrough provides the most astounding evidence in history that our reality isn't what we've been told to believe, but is, in fact, something far more wonderful. Now, I would go into the details of this, but we don't have enough time because I have a lot of articles to cover, and I have an awesome show coming up with some awesome guests, so I'm going to leave it like that. Check out Quantum Breakthrough, Stuns World, Changes Reality for All Mankind. Awesome article. Gotta read it. Happening in Australia, a massive Australian carbon tax slammed on all the Aussies. $9.99 in Australian dollars per week. Australia just got hit with another record winter, but the carbon Nazis got their cash, and basically that's all that counts. Now, we all know about the carbon tax that everyone's trying to pass around the world, and let me just say this. We breathe carbon. How are you going to tax an element that we breathe? Carbon is part of what we breathe. A famous quote by Thomas Jefferson: if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson. Awesome guy. Knew what he was talking about. Moving on, we've been talking about this a lot, and we will continue to talk about this. The Monsanto monstrosity, and that is part of the headline. The world's largest human experiment, GMOs Roundup and the Monsanto monstrosity. In the case of the genetically modified organisms we have not been made aware of, the risks, in fact, the GMO industry has deliberately hidden the real dangers behind the seeds and herbicides they peddle, as well as cloned meat, cloned milk. They're not even governed to test those things or even let us know that it's cloned meat. There's laws that they don't even have to test it or put on the packaging that it's cloned meat. Awesome. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Awesome. Fluoride. Fluoride again in the news, and it's always going to be the news, especially with the news outlets that we follow. Fluoride consumption leads to brain damage, says a new study. Well, go figure. It is becoming increasingly difficult for fluoride fanatics to defend their practice of artificial water fluoridation, thanks to a new report highlighting its many dangers. A new study published in the Journal of Neurology reveals that chronic exposure and ingestion of the synthetic fluoride chemicals added to water supplies can cause serious brain and neurological damage. Well, I've been talking about this for as long as I've known about it, and we'll continue to talk about it. Fluoride is not good for you. So newsflash, do not buy enriched fluoride drinking water for your newborn babies. I was at Ingles a few weeks ago, and saw that the water for babies is enriched with fluoride, man. It's horrible. It's horrible. So if you have any mothers or friends out there that have kids, you know, drop a dime on them. Let them know what's up. Don't buy the water with fluoride in it, you know. Don't even buy the toothpaste with fluoride in it. Buy Tom's toothpaste. It's all natural. Also, Nuclear Watchdog Group accuses U.S. government of failing to keep public informed about radiation fallout. Wow. Go figure that one. We've been talking about this since Fukushima happened, and that's what they're talking about. It's obvious that the government is just lying about it because they can't tell people the truth, and there's tons of independent studies from every state in this country that has shown high risk. There's even 48% increase of newborn baby deaths in Philadelphia we talked about. And these things are real. These are not fake numbers. These are not fake reports. There's hundreds of them. So check it out. You need to be aware. Italian Parliament adopts draconian austerity budget, approved the 48 billion euro package. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi kept out of the spotlight as Parliament in Rome approved the 48 billion austerity package. We all know about the draconian austerity measures. If anything has draconian austerity measures, stay away from it, because that is what is countries one by one, are these harsh draconian austerity measures. And who is funding the IMF or helping fund it? We are, the taxpayers. 11% of tax dollars goes to the IMF to help bring down these other countries. Not cool. IMF is not cool. Same thing with draconian austerity measures. Police state 2011. Police chief shuts down children's lemonade stand. This article is crazy. Three girls about 9 or 10 years old trying to get money to go to a water park put up a lemonade stand, which I did when I was a kid, and basically the cops came and shut them down. So let me get this straight. Wall Street CEOs basically mount a massive record-setting financial swindle involving fraudulent mortgage-backed securities that, when the scam crashes, cost the American people about $27 trillion, and none of those guys get arrested, investigated, or thrown in jail. But the cops have nothing better to do than to bust the kids at the lemonade stand. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It's black and white, and people need to be aware of this stuff, because that's the sign that this is a police state, just like the dancing in the Thomas Jefferson Memorial is illegal. Are you kidding me? It's illegal to dance? Crazy stuff. Fukushima highly radiated United States water food cover-up by feds continues. Another story covering that the United States is totally covering up the Fukushima. This is an awesome story. I'll post it on the website. And you can check it out at starcityenergyradio.com. Talking about the 93 days in jail for growing vegetables garden. I talked about this on a radio show last night. This is just crazy. In Oak Park, Michigan, a woman's facing 93 days in jail for growing an organic garden in the front of her house. Well, you're going to be seeing a lot more of that, because as I've been talking about, the S-510 bill that's trying to be pushed through Congress is going to make organic foods being grown illegal. You need to be aware of it. S-510 bill. Google it. Check it out. Also, around the world, we have civil unrest spreads to Malaysia. 1,400 people were arrested. More people standing up to the government. And a magnitude 7.0 off the east coast of Honshu, Japan happened. Didn't hear anything about that. And again, these stories are stories you need to pass and talk about, because these are the stories that will help people at least open the door to the massive, massive lies and the charade that has been told to us and is still going on around us. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Write that one down. It's not my quote. It's a famous quote. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, straight up. And with that, I'm going to wrap up the news, because I have an awesome, awesome show and some awesome guests coming up. And with that, enjoy another track of Y'all, and we'll be right back.
There were two distinct communications. The first message turned out to be a superior catalyst for methane. We now have the potential to produce an infinite amount of energy from this clean-burning fuel. This convinced us that we were dealing with a friendly intelligence. The second message turned out to be a new sequence of DNA with a rather friendly instructions on how to combine it with ours. Here's some technical data on the whole operation. You can get feedback on it from Dr. Baker here. Basically, the new combined DNA sequence was injected into 100 human ova. ¶¶
Welcome back. You're tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio, and joining me live on the air right now is Amy Vickers from the Star Child Project, and I've been talking about this for a few weeks now and also on the website. And let's get right into it. Amy, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure being on with you.
Absolutely. And let's just first start with the listeners on, give us just like a background, a history of the Star Child skull, where it was found and how, you know, it came to be with you getting involved with it.
Sure. Well, the Star Child skull is a real bone skull that is somewhat similar to a human skull, but when you really take a close look at it, there's basically nothing about it that's the same as a human. There are 25 major differences between the Star Child skull and a normal human skull. It was found in Mexico in the 1930s, but it's actually 900 years old. So found in the 1930s, 900 years old, but it was basically just kept as a curiosity or an oddity for the last part of the last century and wasn't really investigated or thought anything of until 1999, when the Star Child Project was put in charge of basically finding out what it is. Was it a deformity? Is it some kind of alien? Is it some new species of human? They just didn't know what, and so the owners handed the skull over to Lloyd Pye, who has spent basically the last 12 years working with this skull, finding different institutions to run different tests, everything done at independent laboratories. And I was lucky enough to come on board back in 2004 and have been privileged to see especially the most recent tests that we've had done, which really reveal some incredible things that not only have never been seen before in humans, but literally have never been seen before on planet Earth.
Now, the C14 dating that you talk about, what exactly is that that you talk about on the website?
C14 dating stands for carbon-14 dating. It's basically a way that they can figure out when the last time something was alive was. And in the case of the Star Child skull, when we had that done by an independent lab, it was found to be 900 years old, plus or minus 40 years. There's always a margin of error. And in our case, it was actually quite a small margin. 40 years is a fairly small margin of error for these tests. And we were lucky enough to have another perfectly normal, completely human skull that was recovered in the same cave in the exact same conditions that we use as a control sample for most of the tests that we do, just to make sure it's not some weird environmental anything. And that skull came out at exactly the same age, 900 years plus or minus 40 years. So we know that these two people both died at the same time 900 years ago in the same place.
Wow, and I also read on the website that one of the I guess skeletons was also like holding the hand of the other one. Or
yes,
attached to them?
You've got it right. The way that they were found was very unusual. The completely normal skeleton was found lying on the ground, just on the surface of the ground, like it had laid down and just died and had never been disturbed. The Star Child, the very unusual skeleton, was found buried in a very shallow grave right next to the one on top of the ground, with the arm sticking up out of the grave and the hand wrapped around the arm bone of the normal human skeleton lying on the surface. So we think, based on that, the way that they were found, most logically that the Star Child skull being died and was buried by the human, who then lay down beside it, wrapped the hand around her own arm, and then died with it. Perhaps they'd both been very ill or had been injured, or it's hard to know exactly how they died, but it made sense to us that if they had both been brought there once they were already deceased, they would both be buried. If they'd both gone up there and died at exactly the same time, then they would both not be buried. So based on the one buried, one not, and the hand reaching up out of the grave and wrapped around the arm bone, we think that it was probably a scenario where she felt a great attachment to it and wanted to be with it, in contact with it that way in the hereafter.
Wow.
Now, we know that they weren't genetically related, but it could have been an adoptive mother or a very dear friend. It's hard to know, but unfortunately all we have actually recovered in our possession is just the two skulls, even though the story goes that two complete skeletons were originally found. All of the other bones have, according again to the provenance story we were given, been lost in a flash flood. But we do have the two skulls, which are more than enough for the kind of comparisons that we're doing right now.
Wow. And talking about other research, and this is also something that I really got into on the website, is talk a little bit about the fibers and nanofibers and how it relates to the Morgellons disease.
Certainly. Well, as I said, there are 25 major differences about the skull. So you can just look at it if you have any idea what a normal human looks like and say, this looks completely different. So we knew there had to be something really unusual about it that would make it grow this way. We've ruled out every kind of deformity. We know that it looks the way it does because genetically that's the way that it was designed to grow. So we wanted to do a more detailed study of the bone itself. Now, the bone of the skull is half as thick, weighs half as much, but is at least twice as strong as normal human bone. When they tried to cut the bone from the skull for a round of testing, one of the early rounds of testing, using a standard Dremel blade made of tungsten carbide, which is the same metal that your dentist uses in his drill bits to drill your teeth, that blade literally bounced off the skull of the bone of the Star Child skull, and they wound up switching to a diamond-coated blade. So we knew there had to be something really unusual about this bone that was making it that strong when it was so thin. So we had a scanning electron microscope examination done of one of the cut samples of bone. Now, a scanning electron microscope is an extremely powerful microscope that produces black and white images and, unfortunately, destroys the sample in the process. It has to blast them with so much light to get good, clear pictures at that magnification that it destroys the sample. But the testing that we had done was done at a major institution in England, and the things that they found under the scanning electron microscope are amazing. They're tiny, tiny microscopic fibers found woven through the matrix of the bone. It's like steel rebar reinforcing concrete. It is an extremely plausible explanation for why the bone is as strong as it is. But these are absolutely microscopic. I don't think anyone has a microscope at home or even at maybe their university or whatever that could see these. They are so tiny. We had to use this ultra-powerful microscope. And because they're so tiny and because the sample gets destroyed at that magnification, there isn't actually a test indented yet for us to be able to pull those fibers out and see what they are. So we have no idea what these are actually composed of. All we know is that they're there, we can see them, they're tiny, and they're all the way through the bone. We've had mycologists look at it, we've had the different fungal experts look at it. Everyone is just adamant, this is not something that happened post-mortem, this is not something that's growing in the bone. This is a naturally occurring substance that is in the bone because it grew that way.
Wow. And how does that correlate or relate to the Morgellons disease?
Well, I understand you're having someone on the show after me that is much better able to explain this than I am, but Morgellons is a condition that also produces fibers basically in the soft tissue. So we're talking about inside the part of the bone where your bone marrow would normally be. It's called the cancellous layer. And so that's where your bone marrow would normally be. In the Star Child skull, it's tiny, tiny, tiny. It's only a couple of millimeters thick because the bone is so thin, whereas the Morgellons fibers are visible to the naked eye, or they're much easier to see under just a mild magnification, but they are visible to the naked eye. They do seem to grow in soft tissue. I've read reports of them occurring in hard tissue, in bone, but when they occur in bones, they seem to be more crystalloid, whereas the ones that occur in soft tissue, in skin, are more fibrous. And on the surface, they do look fairly similar to the fibers found in the star child bone, except that the fibers in the star child bone are about 10 times smaller than those found in the Morgellons samples. And unfortunately, as I said, we've got no way to really know the difference between the two. It's not impossible that they're related, but on the face of it, just based on the relative sizes of the samples and where they appear in the tissues of the body, it's hard to say whether there's any real true correlation between the two, but it's definitely something that we're interested in finding more about.
Gotcha. And with that, with all these tests you've done and DNA testing and all these 25 different things that are different from the human skull, it's pretty obvious that this, I mean, to me anyways, and probably most of our listeners, that this is not a human skull. It's definitely an extraterrestrial. And what's like the next step that you guys are doing? I read on the website you're going to be making like a world announcement. And what's that about? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, very recently we've had some new DNA testing done on the skull, and I need to stress that this is very preliminary. We have a result of about 10% of the star child skull's mitochondrial DNA. Now, we all have two types of DNA, mitochondrial DNA that only has genetic material from our mothers, our grandmothers, our whole maternal line. Then there's the nuclear DNA. The nuclear DNA is what you hear people talk about with the human genome. It's basically what makes us who we are. So you've got the mitochondrial DNA that's basically power plant DNA. It's like instructions for how your body needs to make energy. And then there's the nuclear DNA that is what your body actually is, who you actually are. Of that nuclear DNA, we only have 0.0001%, so we have a very tiny percent of that. And of that tiny amount that we have, we've already found some DNA that isn't remotely similar to anything found on planet Earth before. So that's very exciting for us. The mitochondrial DNA that we have 10% of, that is where we're really excited at the moment, because it's quite a well-understood aspect of human genetics, because even though all of us have a lot of mitochondrial DNA floating around in us, a lot of it is just the same fairly small amount of information over and over and over and over and over again. So out of this 10% that we already have, we know what should be there, what human DNA should look like. And then we know what the star child's DNA should look like. And they're just radically different. If you or I or any other human was born with this kind of mitochondrial DNA, we physically could not survive. It's impossible for a human to survive with this many anomalies in their mitochondrial DNA, even at that 10%, even still needing to go through and do repetition after repetition. The thing you've got to love about geneticists is they're never happy doing something once. They want to prove it 10 times over before they're really happy with it. So we're very comfortable with the result that we have now, but we'll be a lot more comfortable when we have the other 90% and we've repeated the whole thing 10 times and we're to that level of certainty.
Gotcha.
But right now, we're already at a stage where, just to put this in perspective, all humans across every haplogroup, every continent, every race, every imaginable kind of human in the world only has 120 differences in the entirety of that mitochondrial genome. Now, that's not to say that there can't be 121 or 122. There is a tiny amount of variation that you can survive, but not a whole lot more than that. Based on what we've recovered in the star child, remembering again, 120 for humans, in the star child, we're looking at 800 to 1,000 differences.
Wow.
So it's way more than anyone should be able to survive. And yet we know that it not only lived long enough to grow up and grow a good set of teeth, it was actually alive long enough to grind those teeth down with repeated use. So we have something at the very least that is absolutely a completely different species. Neanderthals only have 200 differences, so that just 80 difference was enough to say, okay, this isn't a human anymore, it's another species, it's a Neanderthal, which we all know is a mile from a human. So to go from 120 to 200 to at least 800 is a huge leap. It's very exciting.
Absolutely.
And we're really looking to pursuing that.
Excellent. And of course, when this big announcement happens, when you guys do get to that and you make this worldwide announcement, definitely we'll be talking about it here in the show and keep everybody updated. And with that, I'm going to play another track and get the other guys from Morgellons Research Group and find out more about that in detail. Any other announcements or anything about the website to tell our listeners?
Just that this show is fantastic, but even if it was 18 hours long, I couldn't get all the information in there.
So I know. I wish we had more time.
Yeah, please visit starshowproject.com to get much more information about those new DNA results. And there's some stuff up there about Morgellons, which we're going to be talking about a lot tonight. So please check it out, starchildproject.com, and feel free to join our mailing list. We'll send you an email every time we have a new discovery or anything fantastic that happens, so you'll be one of the very first to know about it.
Awesome. That's what's up. So Amy's going to hang in there, and she'll be staying on through the rest of the show. And with that, enjoy this next track.
There were two distinct communications. The first message turned out to be a superior catalyst for methane. We now have the potential to produce an infinite amount of energy from this clean-burning fuel. This convinced us that we were dealing with a friendly intelligence. The second message turned out to be a new sequence of DNA with a rather friendly instructions on how to combine it with ours. Here's some technical data on the whole operation. You can get feedback on it from Dr. Baker here. Basically, new combined DNA sequence was injected into 100 human ova.
And welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And now joining me live on the air, we have Mike from the Morgellons Research Group and Dr. Will Spencer. Thank you both for joining me.
Hello, Jonah.
How you doing? Dr. Will Spencer, how are you?
Yeah, good evening. Not too bad.
Excellent. First, I'm just going to give a little background and brief history about the Morgellons Research Group. Basically, you guys consist of a bunch of researchers, scientists that study and identify this emerging syndrome known as Morgellons disease or Morgellons. And basically, you guys are just a bunch of concerned citizens, healthcare professionals, scientists, researchers, and volunteers that basically give their time to help spread more awareness and to do more scientific studies on what exactly Morgellons is and what's occurring in the world. And Mike, you've been working with the Morgellons group for how long now?
We formed this group early this year. Actually, most of us came from the Carnicom Institute, where we all moved on together. And so we're still pretty much a new venture. The group that we have accumulated is quite a wonderful gathering of researchers, and we are getting a lot of things done.
Now, just to briefly go over for the listeners there, just tell us about exactly what is the Morgellons syndrome.
Okay, well, the Morgellons syndrome, first of all, I always say it's not a disease, it's a condition, a syndrome, or, you know, it's an artifact. So there's a big difference there. It's These fibers, I know everyone pretty much knows that they're fibers. They are definitely microscopic. They have a polymer ingredient. They are. This gets kind of scientifically complicated with a little bit of Frankenstein kind of involved. They're genetically engineered fungal forms. They're mutated. They have viruses. They communicate. It's basically nanotechnology in the form of invading human tissue. They self-assemble, self-replicate. There's wires, tubes, arrays. They have sensors. It goes on and on, and a very important feature that these things seem to be involved with is the frequency manipulation that is going on with the Ground Wave Emergency Network, which is Glenn Powers, and also the EMF, and they are sending frequencies which would be extremely low frequency, ELF, and they seem to work along with these fibers, and they are basically blocking a higher consciousness ability of the human being. And I heard earlier they mentioned that the human genome, and our human genome is already been altered. Our chromosome count, everything is different in the human being. We have a complete medical establishment that is quiet about the whole reality of this situation. And the more research we do, the more we find that these Morgellons fibers are almost acting as an antenna or a receptor for this frequency consciousness manipulation. Basically, the human reality has been changed, and it's a deep rabbit hole.
That's what's up, and that's how I found out about you guys about a month and a half ago when I was doing research on the chemtrails, because that's where you guys get some of the samples from, is from the chemtrails. And as we know, they're spraying chemtrails on many different continents all over the world. And when I read it picks up electromagnetic frequencies, it just made sense that's what they're using to pump these different frequencies through the planet to agitate us and like you said, to change reality. And I also saw, doing more research and also on your site, that these nanofibers are also hexagonal shaped, and they actually, like you said, they find each other and form like the buckyball from Buckminster Fuller, correct?
Yeah, there's a crystal ingredient. I've even found some inside some of my hairs. This is pretty spooky stuff, but I also want to mention real quick, we have not found a human being that does not carry Morgellon syndrome. It's in everybody, symptoms or not, and I feel that's a vital fact and confirmation that everybody needs to know. We even run into a lot of experienced activist people that seem to separate themselves from the Morgellons community, and it's all one human family. And it's in our, you know, these fibers, the genesis is in our blood, mycoplasma. There's a long list of ingredients that have entered our human existence. So that's an important fact I wanted to get out there.
Absolutely, and that's part of what they're spreading in these chemtrails, and they're nanofibers, so you just breathe them in, and they continuously spray, so we continuously breathe them in, and they self-assemble, and the more you breathe these chemicals in with these nanofibers, the more that are in you, and the stronger their signal could get in your body. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a big puzzle, Jonah. There's many parts.
Yes, it is.
It's very complicated. Most researchers, most of the scientists I have dealt with, you finally come to a roadblock and realize that there has to be an ET involvement in a lot of the makeup of this. We don't know, but it just becomes so non-earthly, the whole potion. I guess the bioweapons lab people, they were assisted in some of their technology. I want to add to that, we have found evidence that they are culturing in space. NASA has even announced some of that activity. And of course, we're of the opinion that they are culturing some of these control factors on the human population. There's still, of course, how do you know for sure? We have found labeling on some of these microscopic fibers, and especially the crystals. We trace a lot of this labeling that we find, and some of that traced to some of the space shuttle astronauts, and we looked, researched them, and my gosh, they were microbiologists.
I saw that. It's like the nerve of the government to even, it's like the boldness of them to even patent these things that they're spraying. And, you know, it's just like you use Google and you could easily connect the dots. I mean,
yeah, you can follow the patents with the nanotechnology also. Everything, the trail is there.
And talking to Dr. Will Spencer, you just returned from the Gulf oil crisis, and you were doing a lot of stuff down there. Tell us a little bit update on what's going down there and how this correlates to that.
Well, one of the biggest things that we see today is what happened just recently in Joplin, Missouri. And this was right after the oil spill. A lot of the people were coming down with these lesions, boils, on their bodies around the Gulf, especially the fishermen and those that live right along the Gulf in southern Louisiana, Mississippi, and as well as over by Florida. And 4 days before Joplin was happening, if you look at the wind current, the upper atmospheric air current, they were coming from the Gulf. And then Dutch Sense showed on his, when he was monitoring the harp rings just to the west of Joplin, and then the tornadoes and storms formed, and now in Joplin, right after the storm, they're having these mysterious fungal and bacterial outbreaks, which look almost identical to those that are from the Gulf. And they didn't have these problems prior to the 5 million gallons of Corexit oil dispersants they've been spraying around the Gulf. I mean, they're still spraying. We were down there a week, we just got home, let's see, 2 weeks ago when we were down there, there was reports of them still spraying oil dispersants from Louisiana, Texas, all the way around Mississippi, Florida, all the way up the east coast of Florida towards the Carolinas. Still, this was 2 weeks ago that I heard that personally when I was down there. So, and I had some friends do a little investigating down on the oil dispersants and all the different kinds of chemicals and proprietary blends and things they're putting in it. It's insidious. I mean, my brain doesn't even comprehend the whys, but my focus is the helping people survive through the crap. Because we have to live in this chemical environment that we live in, and that's my passion, and that's why I've been asked to join the Mergellan's Research Group because of what I'm doing on a personal level, if you will.
Yeah, that's where I feel is that it's definitely time to help heal people, and I know speaking with Mike and also about yourself, you guys are both pretty aware and spiritual and pretty know what's going on with the shift, and this is all part of it. And when I saw the first video from that I found with you guys with the proof of Mergellan's, and I watched the full videos of it, I mean, I was tearing because I understood a lot of that, and it blew my mind. That was probably one of the most profound things I found since I've started this radio show was what you guys are doing. It's just amazing the depth of this whole scheme that they have to literally rebuild our DNA to pump frequencies to try to shift our consciousness, because they know what's happening with this shift, and they're doing everything they can to try to avert that. And it's amazing. And I know, Dr. Spencer, for yourself, you consider yourself a healer and you're spiritual, and how do you tie that into when you talk to people and what's going on?
Well, it depends on the group that we're talking to. Not everybody can handle the in-depth, the spiritual side of things. Most people are more on the, just the physical third dimension plane, if you will. Most people don't like to go too deep or are unable to even, comprehend a lot, but it's an intuitive process when you meet people, not to dump too much on them. You have a tendency to get right into the good stuff, but most people they we're so prone to reject, you know, reality and truth, with all the, you know, the last 80 years or so of programming. And so it's a challenge.
Yeah, I find that even with myself, even with my own family members and stuff, it's, to me and to a lot of us, things are common sense. If you just look at the paper trails that there's so many of them left behind on this stuff, that it's amazing. And now how does this tie in? I was speaking to you last week, Mike, and how I got Amy on is because on your website you talk about the Star Child Project and the Star Child Skull. What have you guys found that correlates with that?
Well, the ET ingredient that I spoke of would be the main component to, you know, basically confirming with laboratory analysis that this is an unworldly creation we're dealing with. You know, they've got the three domains of life on Earth, and they have crossed them, which is impossible. Instead of DNA defining life, which, you know, you can use the word God or universe instead of DNA. You know, they've expanded our genetic code. There's so many intangibles involved that, like I said, it correlates with whether they were assisted, whether they stole information, whether they've always had this information. These things, many, like, even with my experience at the Carnicom Institute, Clifford taught me how he could not kill or eliminate these things with fire, with acid, with you name it. They basically showed an ability to morph and just come back in the same culture, sealed, contained dish.
Wow. So that means that they're like we were talking about, they're multidimensional organisms.
Well, yeah, Will just discovered some evidence of that also, but just the research, especially the scientists, the PhD crowd, it's non-earthly. There's nothing here we can figure out. It's not carbon life that we know. There lies the ET ingredient, most likely.
Gotcha. And Amy, you're still joining us on the air and listening to Dr. Will Spencer and Mike. Do you have any questions for them, or have you heard anything that piqued your interest or turned on a light bulb or another question mark?
I definitely do have a question, and I certainly agree with you that we do seem to have fairly substantial elements of alien technology, that all of a sudden we have something just light years beyond what we previously had at different points of contact or alleged alien contact, everything from transistor radios and microwaves to Velcro. In the research that I had done on Morgellons, I came across actually an FDA document from, I think, 2007, where they were authorizing the use of nanotechnology based on high-density polyethylene fibers that resembled very closely some of the pictures that I'd found of Morgellons fibers. And just especially in hearing you reference serial numbers or other identifying marks on some of the fibers or elements that you've recovered, I was wondering, have you seen any correlation? Am I just completely barking up the wrong tree? You'll have to forgive my ignorance on this if I am, but is that any part of any of the research that you've come across?
Yes, there is definitely. You mean as far as the similarities in the fibers to the ET ingredient, or I'm not sure if I understand the question.
I'm sorry. We've mentioned chemtrails as a possible vehicle.
Oh, okay. The correlation of chemtrails. Well, yes, we have confirmed environmental samples exactly match the human samples. We have got samples from, say, a lesion on a suffering person. And then we obtain air samples, environmental samples, however you want to call them, and they match exactly. They are being added to the atmosphere. There is such a severe dose, shall we say, that most of us are of the opinion there's a complete neuronal network of the globe and everything on it.
Wow. And Dr. Will Spencer?
Examples in plants outside, in the leaves, in the food, in animals' hair. You know, it's all over. It's a systemic issue, the fibers, anyhow.
Yeah, they can simulate. They can make themselves magnetic to basically any surface on Earth. There's an ET ingredient, most likely. Our science has no recognition of that. You can obtain these samples in every blade of grass on a lawn. You can find evidence of the nanotechnology. They glow. They reflect light. It's an easy way to spot them, especially with microscope. It's like I said. They have completely filled the whole neuronal network of the Earth. We've found no areas, no country, no geographical anything that is different. Pretty much have tried to control, you know, everything on the Earth. Or they think they're doing it at this time. There's many theories about why we are talking about this right now and why most people are not.
Sure.
Besides money, there is that frequency thing that I keep coming back to, because there's the correlation. We are frequency manipulated as we speak, and hopefully we have a special blockage to that, shall we say. Maybe it's our DNA, maybe it's with some outside help, which is a wonderful thought. They are blocking our higher consciousness. They are vibrating, making us vibrate lower, our molecules, and I don't know if people are familiar with the pineal gland that is in the human brain.
Oh, yeah.
These things have an attraction to the chakra areas of the body, and especially the pineal gland, which, of course, would be our... You know, our love comes from there. Our higher consciousness would definitely come from the pineal gland.
Well, they, as we all know, or most of us know, they've been at this master plan for a long time, and they've been spraying chemtrails for over 10 years now, and all sorts of different tests. And with that, we got to wrap up. And Dr. Will Spencer and Mike, do you have any updates or anything to tell our listeners about your website before we go?
Well, we're magellansresearchgroup.com. You can find all the information you want. We are going to be updating and improving the website towards the end of the month here. We're going to have a whole new fancy-looking front page. There's a video section. You can learn everything about Magellan syndrome. You can learn about us. We have a research blog for open research that you can go to. All the access is there. You can write to me, you know, send an email. We like to stay in touch with everybody out there. And, just stay spiritual amongst this. Anger cannot be part of the equation, because most, especially early researchers, they always, you know, anger comes into this equation, and you have to become spiritual when you study and research, such a crime against humanity.
Yeah, you have to have that balance, absolutely. And thank you both for joining me, and we'll definitely have you guys on the show again, and definitely keep me updated with all the new research, because this is definitely a subject that I will be covering a lot more of in the future, because it is one of the main subjects I think everyone needs to be talking about, because this is real life stuff that's going on, and the proof is in the pudding. And Amy, again, thank you for joining us on the show as well, and keep us updated on all your findings and your hard work as well with the Star Child Project.
It's been really great. Thanks for getting us all together to have a chat about this for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'd like to mention that Will's website is, you can get it from the Magellan Research Group, or you can go to Body Electrician also. I just want to add that real quick.
Awesome. Bodyelectrician.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for coming on. And with that, I'm going to play one more track, and we'll come right back and wrap up.
Thank you, Jonah.